Hey, Sorry Not Sorry fans, Gigi here. Just want to let you guys know this episode was conducted via Zoom. In an effort to lower the curve of the crazy COVID-19 pandemic affecting the world, we are still practicing social distancing methods. So we apologize in advance if the audio is not up to par. However, the content is still the same. Thank you all so much for continually supporting us, and make sure you follow us on Instagram at SNSPod_ for episode updates, highlights, and click the link in the bio to catch up on past episodes. Thank you guys.
If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, we gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, we gon' talk about it.
Hey, you guys, we are back with another episode of Sorry Not Sorry, quarantine style. So we are interviewing via Zoom. Jenny is not here. Sorry, she has like so much going on. You know, she's a girl boss, so she couldn't be here. But that's okay, because we are still doing our interview with the amazing Jeremiah Brown. Welcome to the sanctuary.
Appreciate it. What's going on?
Good. How are you holding up for quarantine?
In the beginning, it was rough. You know, I think for everyone, I speak for myself when I say that it was just a transition that just came out of nowhere. And for myself, I just was stuck. You know, I was in a space where, you know, I didn't want to do anything. I just wasn't motivated. And I was like, man, like my wife reminded me, like, you know, you have an obligation. You know, this is what you signed up for, you know, in terms of like inspiring, uplifting, you know, not only the youth, but just, you know, people. So for me, it was like a wake up call. Like, okay, right, this has changed. This is different. But I just got to shift, you know. So, you know, at this moment, just in the process of like shifting my company from like, I guess, more in person to just more of an online.
The virtual world.
Yeah, which has been challenging, you know. But you know, we're definitely taking strides in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. When quarantine first happened, the first month of March into actual April, I literally was working from home, and that was it. I had no motivation to leave my room. Like, I barely left the room to even eat. I don't know what was going on mentally, but it's just like, I don't know. I just like shut down and wasn't motivated to do anything. I kind of just gave up on my podcast, like F social media. I didn't want to post nothing. Like, I was just over it. But then something like was kind of like, oh, I see everyone moving in gear. That kind of motivated me to like, okay, you're going to have to pivot
in your
position and just work out. You still work from home, so that travel thing is not a factor. So
For sure, you know, it's definitely, you can work from home, but then like with the business you can't, you know, because like a huge foundation of, as you know, was the training piece of what I do in terms of like training student athletes. So
let me get to that, because I know people probably like, what is he talking about his business? So for those who are listening who don't know, I talked about Jeremiah's company, Lead Athletics, in the episode 3, Black-Owned Businesses. So he is the founder and CEO of the Lead Athletics, which is a sports performance training company that provides student athletes with the necessary tools to prosper, not only in the athletic communities and careers, but also prepares them for fulfilling lives as they transition out of the world of sports, which I think is amazing. So he's not teaching you how to be a good athlete. He's just teaching you how to be a good person overall, how to be a functional, you know, citizen of the country.
and during this time, and I appreciate that, you know, during this time, we've actually had to like shift our mission to like it's not solely be a sports performance training company, right? But to be a student athlete development or student development program where we are just passionate. Me and my team are just passionate about, you know, just the development of the student overall, you know, getting them to understand that the sport that they play is cool, it's great, you know, it provides a strong platform for your future, but it's not the future, you know. And I think a lot of times, especially, you know, just kids growing up in poverty like me, just automatically assume that, like, you know, there are a few things that they can become, you know, if it's from the block, or if it's like to be a celebrity or some form of athlete, it's like, that's it. And just realizing that, like, even if you do make it, right, it's not about making it, it's about staying there, right? Mm-hmm. And then how long you stay there, but regardless if you stay there or not, your career is over. Now granted, it's a lot easier to be lost with money, but when you're lost with money, you become a statistic in terms of someone who goes broke after a certain amount of years. For me, that was like my biggest fear of like, oh man, I was able to do some great things. I got this money, like I can't go broke, right? So just being able to like just dive into like who I am and just figuring out who I am outside of the sport was challenging. But that's what like inspired me to like do this work and just operate in my gift. So it's been rewarding. I've gotten punched in the face a ton of times in terms of like that word adversity, but we just keep getting back up.
I want to move backwards before the lead. I think what I admire about you as a CEO is that you practice what you preach. So you play for the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm not a football person. No. But you also have a degree in sociology and education, correct? So I really love that you practice what you preach. So if you want to just give your experience with the NFL and kind of how did that inspire you into the league?
Oh, man. So, like, you know, truth be told, I wasn't necessarily the kid who, like, grew up, like, I'm trying to go to the league and trying to go to the league. You know, I started playing football, you know, in high school, Grand Street Campus. So, like, anytime I tell that story to the youth, right? Anytime I tell that story to the youth, they're like, what? Like, I've been playing since I was 5 years old. And I said, majority of the people that I was playing with or against were playing years longer than me. And the fact that I was able to, like, make it to that distance, it goes far beyond talent. One of the things that we really, really try to just drive home when talking to the youth is, like, a lot of times, even us as adults, we solely rely on our talent, right, that we're a good speaker or, you know, a good business person, and think that because of our talent, you know, it's either going to get us there and keep us there, which isn't true, right? And just getting, you know, the youth to understand that, like, it went far beyond my ability to just score touchdowns and, you know, play defense. It was about my character. It was about my ability to overcome adversity, you know, to have that resilience, to have that grit. So for me, you know, like I said, it was just, I just fell in love with the process. You know what I mean? I just fell in love with just like, yo, if I really commit myself to something and I make the sacrifices and I just put in the work, like, I'm going to get better. And then next thing you know, I'm one of the top athletes in high school. I get a scholarship. I play Division I football. I become one of the top Division I football players in the country. And then next thing you know, agents, and I'm going to the league. And it was just like things just kind of happened just through the process. But I always knew that I wanted to work with kids. Didn't know which route it would be, but I just always knew that when it was all said and done, you know, my life is, my obligation is to, you know, uplift the youth.
Yeah. Sure. I want to get into also, like, the formation of the league. You know, you have a team. I think one of the people on your team is Rashard. And he went to high school as well. So the formation of the team, because I think you have a unique brand in the business.
Yeah, thank you.
Like, the reason why I highlighted you for my Black-owned business is you have a unique something where you took two things that you're expert in. You know, you're a public speaker. Yeah. I see you do like all these motivational speeches to kids, usually motivating me, because I'm like, damn, I felt that. But also sports and kind of meshing that together. So I really want to know what that mind frame was when you decided, okay, I'm starting this company.
To be honest with you, it was a moment where I was just still, you know, and I'm trying to get back to that space of being still, you know, for years, you know, so I was in the NFL, you know, I was forced to retire due to injury, and now I'm in this space where, like, I don't know who I am, I'm looking in the mirror, I'm depressed, I have anxiety, like, I'm just thinking the worst, you know what I mean, just not knowing who I am and what I want to do. You know, I started working for the Department of Education. You know, I was the youngest athletic director in the state of New York at one point, where I was like, okay, I want to, you know, have that title and, like, you know, so people that, you know, and I was doing it more so for people to not see me as a failure. You know, with saying that, it put me in a place where I was like, I don't want to be a paper pusher. You know what I mean? Like, I want to build relationships with students. And, you know, so I'm working out of school for years. I transitioned to a school in Staten Island. I thought I knew Staten Island just for going to college there, but just from my experiences of actually working there as an adult, completely different experience for another episode of the podcast. But, you know, it was a great experience because I learned so much, but it inspired me to say, you know what, like, these kids really need me. Like, there are kids
about the experience. We got time.
Well, you know, in terms of the experience, it showed me, I met some amazing people, you know, but it showed me firsthand that people are doing it for different reasons in terms of like working with youth, right? So my view on an educator, right, is that you work for the student, right? So like it removes the pride. I think unfortunately, just due to where we are as a country, where have you, you know, that's not the case, right? Where teachers, educators, coaches, you know, just have this philosophy that it's either their way or no way. Right. And you must meet me where I am, as opposed to having the approach that these students all come from different situations, right? And it's extremely important that you humble yourself in knowing, like, I cannot expect this kid to know how to, you know, get here on time or to study when his at-home situation is just jacked up. Like, he hasn't had anybody tell him or show him these certain things. So, you know, that experience in Staten Island just really opened my eyes to, like, okay, like, these kids really need me. Like, they really need someone that gets it. They really need someone that's not going to just talk, but, like you said, just living the life that I preach.
Yeah.
And that's just something that, like, you know, I live and die by. But going through that experience, it really just inspired me to say, you know what, like, I think what it really came down to from that experience in Staten Island and just my previous experience of working in the Department of Education was that I had a lot to offer and they had control over my gifts, right? So they told me how many kids I could work with. They told me when I had to work with them, right? So for me, it was like, dang, like, they're controlling my gift. Like, I didn't really like how that felt. So it led to me, you know, I got married and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to take this summer off. It's going to be the first summer I'm just going to take off, not do anything. And I was just still, you know what I mean? Just like sitting at home, just doing nothing. And that's when
it's
it really
hard
just,
for someone used to being. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Extremely hard, but it was necessary. You know what I mean? It was so necessary. I read this book that really made that shift. It was called The Power of Now by like Eckhart Tolle or something like that. Phenomenal book, life-changing book. But it just talks about just like being present where you are. And for me, it was like, okay, I just got married. You know, I've been like grinding for like years. I'm just going to just take this time off. And in that time, and I was just home for like, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, I was like, yo, I'm re-energized and I think I want to start this business. And I've been doing the work for years.
Yeah.
But I just didn't have the structure on like, okay, what is it called? What is our mission? What are our values, right? So like that was the hard part. And then just organically, you know, my best friend Rashad, we've been, you know, friends since the first grade. Went to elementary, middle school, high school together. And he, at the time, was just graduating with his master's in, I want to say, sports management. Mm. So he was like, yo, bro, like, I really am passionate about developing student athletes. I said, bro, like, I'm actually creating a company and, you know, this would be great. So that, it was just crazy, like, how I didn't have to, like, ask him to be a part of it or like go out and search for someone with the same vision. Now, granted, you know, I'm the head of the company. I'm, I guess, the visionary behind it. But I'm nothing without the team. Like, my wife, Adeline, my videographer.
What are the actual titles that everyone has, or is just like, this is the team?
So Rashad is the head strength and conditioning coach. Rashad Stevens, of course, you know. Adeline, she is our program director. She is who actually goes into the schools, facilitates the workshops. She has a ton of years of experience, you know, working for after school programs. Right. She works for the Department of Education. So, you know, she's someone who is just like creative, like just has that passion to just like, the funny story, how Adeline came on the team. I was at my first high school that I was working at, and was working an after school program. Mm-hmm. And I'm at the after school program, and my mindset is like, I just clocked out of my 9 to 5, really don't need this job, but because I have it, I'm just gonna get this money, right? Okay. Was it the right mindset to have? 100%. But she was the one who was like, nah, because my name is attached to this work, like, I'm gonna take money out of my pocket to make sure these girls have shirts for the performance. And in my head, I said, yo, if I ever had a program or just something about the kids, she has to be on my team.
Yeah.
And I just never, so you fast forward 2-3 years later, I call her up. I say, hey, Addie, I'm starting this business. I need you to be a part of it. And then, you know, ever since, you know, she's just been, man, just phenomenal. My wife, who is like the COO of my company, just in terms of like just the structure, you know, she provides just that hard advice, right? Yeah. So like sometimes, sometimes like, yo, babe, you hating, but she not hating. You know what I mean?
That. That's
like,
how I am with my 100%. Podcast.
'Cause we have this vision, right? But I love it because she gives me sometimes what I don't want to hear, mm-hmm. right? So at the moment, I'm just like, yo, babe, you hating. But like, I know that it's coming from a place of like, you know, she's not hating. It's just
being realistic.
Being realistic, right? Because like when you're a visionary, you just out here go getting it and doing all of these things. Like sometimes you don't see things.
The cross sometimes you need, to come.
Yes, you need that outside perspective. So, I mean, she's just been phenomenal in just providing that structure and just giving me that quality advice because, you know, Rashad, that's my best friend. Adeline, you know, we've grown our relationship over the years, you know, so like sometimes that relationship gets in the way of like what I need to hear, right? So if I say like, hey, you know, Ra, let's do this, he like, cool. You know, if I run it by my wife, she's like, I don't know. I don't know how that likes, I don't know how that looks or whatever. And, you know, I had to get used to it. I had to really just like check myself and say like, I need her more than anything. So it's been phenomenal, you know, like, and then that's like the core of my team. Then I have my marketing team, Sean, phenomenal dude. He's done for like the overall aesthetics and look of my company. You know, that's all him.
Yeah, very consistent. I love the brand. I'll be like on your page like, damn, like what's going on? Like who is he hiring?
Thank you. You know, I met him so when I was in Staten Island, man, through the grace of God, I met some really dope people, and I was working for a sports science lab, state-of-the-art facility, phenomenal work. Shout out to this New York Sports Science Lab in Staten Island. Phenomenal. He was their media director, not sure of his title, but he pretty much, what he does for me, he did for them. Mm-hmm. And although I met some amazing people, from the owners to the like trainers, I felt like I was there to meet him because, you know, you fast forward 2-3 years later, within that time, he recorded my wedding in Costa Rica, like, you know, in terms of like brand managing of like the fluidity of my brand. He's played a huge part in that. And, he no longer works for the company, he works for another company now, but he, in working with me and other clients, he started his own marketing agency, which is dope. So, you know, just being a part of that process with him has just been, you know, phenomenal.
That's amazing. I really love how, I think a lot of people sleep on the relationships you build, because a lot of us are working jobs we don't like. Well, not me anymore, but a lot of people are working jobs they don't like, and they're not paying attention to the people around them. They're just so focused on, oh, I got to get out of here, and I got to, you know, invest in this. But it's kind of like, well, focus on the people who's around you, because these people can be a part of your team. Who may not be happy like you're not happy. So that's important that you stress that. What are some programs that your company puts on? I know you guys like had something where people could sign up, like kids could sign up for the summer, but I think it's expanded more. from that?
Yeah, so in the beginning, you know, in the beginning stages of my company, you know, again, I've been doing this work for years, but structurally, I guess IRS-wise in terms of, like, tax, we've been doing it officially going on 2 full years. So just from what we've been able to do in 2 years has just been phenomenal. But we were solely a training company, training organization. And the reason being is, don't get me wrong, I love training, but it's not my purpose. I really feel like my purpose is more, because I went to school for sociology and education, it's more of like that understanding of why you think the way you do.
Yeah.
How I can provide added tools and information to close that gap. Right. We all have gaps, you know, in how we think of just how we perceive things to be. And it, of course, the gap is larger with our youth, primarily in, you know, impoverished neighborhoods, just due to the lack of either parents in a household or babies raising babies. Mm-hmm. And just all that comes with, you know, those unfortunate lack of socioeconomical communities. So with that being said, it really inspired me to say, okay, I have Rashad who can essentially take the lead on the training aspect of it. I have Adeline who can, you know, take the lead on, you know, doing the workshops in the school. But I really need to just rebrand the company so that people don't think about lead as like, oh, I want to sign my child up to train. Like, we're in the process now of rebranding the company that so people look at us as, okay, I have a child who's a student athlete or thinking about becoming a student athlete, and he doesn't have any confidence.
Yeah.
He wants to go to college for free but doesn't know how. Or, you know,
if it's just troubled, like the troubled ones. I think those are the ones who need it. Like restructuring the mindset of those kids, because a lot of them act out because, you know, whatever's going on.
100%. Even I've realized, and that's another part of our rebranding structure too, is even privileged kids. You know what I mean? Even kids that come from privilege, that have both parents at home, that, you know, are fortunate enough to not have finances get in the way of like who they are and what they want to accomplish in life in terms of like going to college, but they still don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like they just don't know. So for me, it's just like, okay, how can I, you know, rebrand my company and restructure things so that we don't get just boxed into training. We don't just get boxed into working with kids that grew up in low socioeconomic situations like myself, or just working with kids of privilege. So it's like, which has been a challenge, right? Because we want to serve all student athletes. Yeah. Of course, my passion, the driving force is the kids that look like me, the kids that, when I say look like me, just come from a situation where they didn't have everything.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to make it, right?
It's like out of the percentages, like, oh, only 5% is supposed to get out of there where we want
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? And a lot of times when I say look like me, people automatically assume that I mean like race. Race. This is more about like opportunity, right? Like, there's one thing that money provides, resources. When you don't have money, you cannot acquire a resource. So I think that is more of like what I want LEED to be known as. It's a resource to provide and equip students, student athletes, with the tools to be successful during their playing career, but most importantly, as they transition into life after sports. So they know who they are, and they know, they may not know who they, what their purpose is, as we all as adults are still trying to figure that out, but more so just have a sense of like, this is what I'm into, you know, and this is what I wouldn't mind doing if they removed money. And once we can do those things and understand it, it just makes things a lot easier.
That's amazing. So I know everyone see this giant check behind your head. So, that. So you are actually one of the winners for the New York Knicks and Squarespace annual Make It Awards, and you won a $30,000 grant for your company. So what was that like? I had to do research on what is the Make It Awards and how can I?
Oh, man. Tell me about it. Tell me about it, right? I'll tell everybody, because for sure, you know, man. So through the grace of God, you know, like I said, when I was in Staten Island, he introduced me or just placed amazing people in my life. And, you know, I met this man, shout out to Calvin, Man, it's a passionate brother. He coaches basketball. You know, he works for the Department of Education. Just a passionate, you know, God-fearing man that just is all about uplifting the kids. And, you know, so the backstory behind the Make It Awards, this is their third year. This was their third year. Every August of the year, they open up the registration for this grant. Mm-hmm. It closes probably the week after Thanksgiving, which gives you like 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Calvin calls me 2 days before Thanksgiving, right? And he's like, yo, Jay, I just saw this Madison Square Garden commercial, and the Knicks are giving away this 30K grant. Bro, that's for you. And in my head, I said, you know, just an hour ago, I just checked out of work, and I told myself I'm shutting it down the moment I hit my couch. So I'm on my couch having this conversation, and God was like, nope, you about to get back up. So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, man, there's no way I can get this grant. So, again, my wife saves the day. You know, I'm like, babe, what do you think about this? And she's like, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to try. So that was all I needed. So I call up my marketing guy. I say, yo, Sean, got this 30K grant. You know, we got to put together this proposal. What do you think? He said, let's give it our best try. We had 6 days to put together what came out to be like a 35-page proposal.
What? school all over again.
for real, right? So, you know, I'm, of course, Thanksgiving, family got to be present, you know, so like, I'm like, literally from that Wednesday all the way into the following, I want to say like Tuesday, Wednesday, we were like hitting the ground running. Like, I'm leaving work, meeting up with him, meeting up with this other person, trying to get it was intense, you know, and
yeah.
I'm telling myself like, this is impossible. It was crazy. You know what I mean? And me and Sean, we're not getting into it, but he's like, man, this is too much information. And I'm like, well, I wanted to give them everything. And he's like, well, so we're kind of like, you know, not on the same page. And, you know, that's one of the things I like most about Sean is like Jillian is not afraid to say, like, we need to move this. We need to change that. Sometimes we need that. So with that being said, I put my application in. I don't get anything back. I don't even get a confirmation that it was sent. Mm. So I'm
You uploaded it on a website or you mailed it to them?
So on the website, they had a link, okay, right, where you had to fill out your basic information and then you had to like attach a PDF link. So I attached my PDF link. I pressed submit. The screen says thank you. So I'm expecting a confirmation email, a number, something.
You checking the spam folders, like, did I get
it? Checking it every day. So now I'm like freaking out. I'm reading a fine print. They're like, you know, if you submit it more than once, they'll disqualify you. So I'm like, yo, I put together this 35-page proposal. They have to have it. I'm calling MSG, trying to figure it out. Nobody, of course, can get back to me. And I say, you know what? Bump it. Maybe I didn't press something the right way. I send it again. And literally, a few minutes later, they send everyone an email saying the Make It Awards is now extending their deadline another week. So I'm like, are you serious? Like, I literally gave it everything I had. So I say, you know what? It is what it is. I'm just going to leave it the way it is. You know, we're going to put the prayer hands together and see what's up. About 6 weeks pass. It's around Christmas time. They call me, say that we're one of the finalists. At this moment, they're like, well, now it comes down to the people, right? So now, you know, you got to go on Twitter. You have to share and retweet and do all of these things. And to be honest with you, I really don't like social media more so because it really messes with my anxiety. I used to get into like the comparison game of like, well, he's doing that over there. And right. So like, for my mental health, especially going through that deep depression when I transitioned from the NFL, it was a trigger for me, right? So like me meeting with a therapist and we identifying together, like what are my triggers? And social media was one of them. So over the years, I've just been working on that aspect of me mentally. Sidebar. But so now I'm forced to go on social media, be vulnerable with everybody and like share, like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And
I saw that hard. Video. That video was really put together. I'm like, oh.
It was hard. And we did that video in less than 24 hours, right? So like I call up my guy, I say, yo, we are finalists. We gotta hit a home run with this. We gotta shoot a video. So I go into work late, meet him by the bridge, we shoot this video, he edits it, we send it out later that night, and the love, I mean, we ended up with like maybe 700, 800 retweets, like over 1,000 likes, you know what I mean? And the gap from us to like everyone else was like a landslide. It was amazing. Yeah. So, you know, we ended up being awarded, you know, with the opportunity. So the Make It Awards, so let me just go back. The Make It Awards is a 30K grant for small business owners like yourself, nonprofit organizations, for-profit organizations. And it's a 30K grant to help jumpstart your company. So the owner of Squarespace, he prides himself on his ability to take a 30K loan and give us what is now known as Squarespace. So he believes that, you know, that could be a critical investment to one's company if invested the right way. So in their proposal, we had to like put together, you know, a scope and sequence of like the scale and distribution of what we would do with this money. We had to like talk about us as owners and like, man, it was a lot. But through the grace of God, we got it. We won it. It's on my wall because
I know. That's what my mind said, like it was meant to be. Like,
yes. So like at first my wife's like, "Are you sure you want to put that up there?" And I was a little hesitant because I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I just don't want to seem like I'm like too cocky or whatever.
What?
And then in my
head, on the shirt. Like, but did you win? So, oh, okay.
So then it was just like, I'm just someone who prides himself on constantly trying to have control over my mind. Right. For years playing football, transitioning out of football, I dealt with some just mental health. When I say mental health, just like always feeling anxious. You know what I mean? At times feeling depressed and like people like, yo, you play at the highest level. Like, yo, you made a ton of money. You graduated college. Like, you have so much to be proud of. And they were right. But I just couldn't see it. So because I still battle with that and just that confidence and just like believing, it was like, okay, like this behind me is just a reminder of like, yo, Jay, you're doing the right thing. You've done the right thing in the past and you're headed in the right direction. And for me, it's extremely, extremely important that I have those reminders, right? Yeah. Those triggers of like, yo, Jay, you're doing what you need to do. You know what I mean? And a lot of times I get in my own head. I'm like, I don't want to do this because it might fail. I don't want to do this because they might say this. And every time I wake up and I get to work and I'm looking at my wall, it's a reminder. Like, God has assigned me to do this work, and he will not only equip me with the right people to help me along, but he will invest in me the way I've invested in myself. So, and I'm just blessed, to be honest.
I'm the same way too. Like, my anxiety is crazy. My first time experiencing anxiety was in school because I was working two jobs and commuting to school. But I think what it is with people like us who are so passionate about our goals, we forget to sit in our blessings, like little things. Like me, even when I'm awarded an opportunity, I'm not really sitting there like, oh my gosh, Gian, this is what you wanted, you got it. I forget about that process, and it's kind of like, okay, I'm here. How can I get here? How can I move here? And it's kind of like, I have people who have to remind me like, okay, you need to relax. Just last year, you were here. You said you wanted to do this. Yep. You did it. Like when I first started my podcast, I didn't even care that I started a podcast. I'm like, okay, I got to get the season two. I got to get this person as a guest. They're like, bro, you know, last month you said you wanted to start a podcast and you started it. And I'm like, oh, so I just started last year. like sitting in your blessings and just appreciating what you're having to grow, because 100%. A lot of people forget that we're just always on the go and always want to be successful, and that can literally kill you mentally.
Yeah.
Which is why when this whole quarantine happened, I didn't know what to do. I'm just like, I'm working from home, so I was lucky enough to still be making money, but I'm just like, I couldn't even sit here and watch Netflix shows all day. I literally was stuck, and that made me depressed because I'm just used to running around New York, doing stuff, going to events, and I couldn't. And I'm just like, what the fuck am I supposed to be doing now? It made me feel not productive. Like, it made me feel like I'm not worthy because I'm not being somewhere physically.
Absolutely.
So that pivot is important.
Yeah, that's a fact.
So let's just get and get into your other brand. Well, actually, no, I want to ask, what are your plans with the 30K grant?
Man, so our plan, man, it couldn't have come at a more just pivotal time just in the world that we're in. I've realized, first and foremost, that 30K is not a lot of money, especially when you already have where the money's going to go. So for me, you know, I'm working on my book, publishing my first book, you know, which, you know, is extremely critical in just me having structure to my life story, you know what I mean? And just controlling the narrative of my story. I think when people hear NFL and, you know, teacher, educator, and like entrepreneur, they can kind of think of or assume they know who you are and what you've done. So for me, it was just like, okay, I need structure with how I speak. I need structure in my vision and how I'm going to attack that vision. So this book, you know, just investing in myself of saying, okay, this book is just going to open up so many opportunities in terms of multiple streams of income, you know, online courses, workbooks, where have you. And then a larger portion of the grant is going to go towards turning the lead curriculum into, you know, workbooks, online courses, to give us more of an online platform, but also to build products, right? You know, so because we solely have been funding, the company has been getting money solely through the training aspect of things. It was like, okay, how do we work with a kid but still get compensated for our time in terms of like the mentorship side of things, which has been extremely challenging, right? So we've, with this grant, we've been able to like make the necessarily investments. So we have a student athlete planner that's coming out in the fall where, you know, me and my team constructed a planner designed to support student athletes. Students could use it as well. Adults could even use it, just in terms of like providing them the structure to go into their day, right? So you're talking about daily affirmations, you know, just motivational quotes on myself, and just other added tools to help them just have a plan as they go, as they show up with intention, right? So we always talk about the importance of just showing up with intention of like, I'm going to be this person today, right? Like, I need to get this done today. So the student athlete planner, we're working on launching the Lead Athletics app, you know, where on the app would give, you know, students, student athletes, parents, and coaches the ability to communicate with one another. We're going to have, you know, courses on the app. We're going to have the student planner on the app. Of course, you know, lead gear, and just like any daily motivational quotes, just things to like give, allow us to directly communicate with our audience. Because when working on like social media platforms, I've realized that they control how I interact with the people, the audience, the people who support me, you know what I mean? And just the power of us having our own app would give us direct capability to just, if you have our app, you get our messages, you get our quotes, you get whatever it is that we have to offer. And because you support us, you want the information. There's people that support me, people that don't support me. You know what I mean? And
anyone would not support you though, but
you know,
that must be a jealous thing that, yeah, that's more
100%, 100%. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's just one of those things where if you do or you don't, if you have our app, hopefully it's because you do and because you're all about what we are about. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to control that pipeline.
Yeah, that's
sure.
Do you have, because when I see you speak, you also speak to guys. Do you have, like, female student athletes in your
program? That's a phenomenal question. You know what I mean? One of my grad professors, she reminds me of this all the time. So shout out to Ellen. She's phenomenal. But, you know, I think because I'm a male, because, you know, I play football, right? Me speaking, a lot of times I'm speaking directly to males.
Yeah.
Because of the opportunities that I get, right? Yeah. And because I respect the speaking industry so much, a lot of opportunities that I've taken, it wasn't up until recently of this year where I began getting paid to speak. Prior to all pro bono, all opportunity to speak just to get better, sharpen that tool. And all the opportunities were either football, basketball, for guys.
Yeah.
To answer your question, a student athlete is female, male, whatever gender you are.
Yeah.
We serve. So, with that being said, we've had the opportunity. I truly believe what won us the grant was the impact that we were able to have as an organization with a girls' basketball team. So, you know, it's been rough though, right? Because as a man, I can go into a young man's DM, right? And like, hey, what's going on, right?
Yeah.
Because he plays a sport. And the perception of it
is okay.
It's a bit different than me going into a 16-year-old girl's profile that may have a crush on me or whatever it is, right? The perception of it. So, for me, I just stay away from that, right? So, like, I'm not going
to a liaison, like, hey, can you reach out to this girl for me?
Exactly. which has been the difficult part of what I do. You know what I mean? And I think that has been a hurdle that we just haven't figured out yet because I don't feel comfortable. No one on my team feels comfortable, nor would we do it, right? So it's just like, how can we, because of what we offer, how can we still impact and have direct conversation with the female population of students, you know? So I think that has been, you know, the hurdle. But to answer your question, we are all about, you know, our female student athletes. They are some of the best athletes in the world. So big up to all my female student athletes. Elite Athletics is for you. We want to support you. You just have to reach out to us so that, you know, protect ourselves. You know what I mean? Because it's not about any of that other stuff. It's more about us providing you the tools to be successful. So any way we can do that, we are here and we are actively working during this time to fill as many gaps as possible.
I mean, it's lucky because you do have females on your team, so they can also speak for that female aspect that you may not understand because you're male.
But
I really don't think anyone should ever, like if I had a daughter, I'm like, she's a basketball player, I'm like, go over there to the league, please. So, Jeremiah, I sent you. You're going to go over there. Like, no one should ever be thinking like that, but I think the climate that we're in,
100%.
All this stuff coming out, it makes it so difficult for people to have these opportunities. Because it's always that borderline of you just have to be very careful to protect yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course you should because it's much bigger than me.
And of course you should always protect yourself. But it's just something you really don't want to have to think about outside of all the other stuff that you're running.
Yep, absolutely.
But yes, let's switch gears and talk about JV Inspires, which is like your other brand.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the goals of that.
So JV Inspires is underneath the Lead umbrella, of course. JV Inspires was a lot of times people, what ended up happening was people were asking me to come speak. And it started to just cause, like, I need structure, right? My wife provides structure, which is why I married her. She's amazing. But, like, I need structure, right? And because I've been provided structure my entire life from martial arts to football, you know, school, knowing when to wake up and do these things, like in the real world, it's easy to operate with no structure, right? And those that do struggle. So for me, it was like, okay, I need structure to my organization. I need people to know that because I'm about the kids does not mean free, right? So when you want me to speak, Jeremiah Brown Inspires is its essentially its own brand underneath the Lead the lead brand, right? So that was just my way of just providing structure for the company as well. You know what I mean? Just in terms of like my team, of just getting them to know that like this isn't necessarily a lead thing, right? So like they called me to come speak. I'm always going to rep lead. Lead is my company. But in terms of me speaking, it's to inspire this group, but to more importantly, shed light on lead and the work that we're doing. You know what I mean? So I just, it was just my way of just like drawing a line in the sand and saying that like the mission is the same. The assignment is different.
Cause it's not, cause I feel like what JB Inspires is more so not student athletes. Now it's just young kids in general.
Yes,
100%. Outside of athletes now, it's just kids in general. 100%. I think that's where the difference is.
100%. And I'm learning as people in general, but like I'm my passion, and I often speak to our youth. Through doing that, I've been blessed with the ability to inspire peers and just other people, which I'm extremely blessed for. But the driving force, the passion, is the youth. So JB Inspires was for the people with the checkbooks and the people with the funding that can compensate me for my gift.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I know we're running out of time, but I know what I initially wanted you to do was share, because a lot of people don't know. Well, some people do know. You actually was my trainer at one point.
Yes, yes.
And I had so many results until you got super busy, got booked in business. And I'm just like, now I'm big as a house. So I know my friend, my best friend Ashley, shout out to Ashley, always brings you up like, so when are we going back to Jeremiah's? I remember I brought her that one time to a training session. So she'd be like, man, I need some results. When are we going back to Jeremiah? I'm like, nah, sis, he got a business now. He got a business. His price went up, sis. We ain't got it. But if you could just shed some light for people during quarantine, how they can be staying active, some creative ways that they can, you know, maybe not lose weight, but just, you know, just spiritually, whether it's meditation, but just staying active.
I think, and this is just me being vulnerable, you know, I struggle, you know, with being consistent. I don't think there's a trainer out there that does not struggle, right, with practicing what they preach. It's extremely hard. So I first and foremost just want to tell the people, like, you know, myself, who's all about fitness and living a healthy lifestyle, I struggle with that. But I will say that it's extremely important that you understand one thing, you know. One, never let a crisis go to waste, right? My mentor told me that, and it's something that like I think about every single day I wake up. What does that mean? Is you'll never get this opportunity. We will never get this opportunity again to just be home, right? To work out. Oftentimes, we make up these excuses of why we can't work out if it's work. And they're all valid. Work, kids, you know, second job. They're all valid, but because we're home, there is no excuse other than it's either you do or you don't. Mm. So for me, my thing is like, okay, I came into this quarantine someone, I'm going to come out of this quarantine someone even better, right? If it's in how many miles I can run, if it's, you know, how I eat consistently, you know, and it's all about just having a plan. You know, I think we all want to do it, but when you don't have a plan and or know, okay, how do I lose this weight? Okay, how do I change up my workout? If you don't know these things, of course you're never going to move, because there's no, like, either investment or you just don't know. So for me, my recommendation would just be, you know, first start off with what's the goal? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? If it's losing pounds, if it's losing inches, start there. And then figure out a plan. If you don't know a plan, reach out to a certified professional. You know what I mean? You can contact any gym where, you know, you could hire. There's so many Zoom sessions. Everybody's doing Zoom sessions. Mm-hmm. You can hire or go reach out to me and my team. We can definitely direct you to some people who specialize in, you know, personal training. But, you know, with that being said, start off with the goal. Have a plan. If you don't have a plan, hire someone to help you with that plan. And then just small wins every day, right? So for me, you know, I'm drinking Pedialyte right now. Right, shout out to Pedialyte. Right, so Pedialyte
that was just for kids. Wait a minute.
So Pedialyte is one of the best forms of hydration, because it's just electrolytes, right? So Gatorade was created to provide athletes with electrolytes is which what your body loses when working out. So babies are given electrolyte because it doesn't have all that extra artificial stuff in it. Mm. It's just more of like the electrolyte. So like I got this tip playing in the NFL because we had to drink a bottle of these every single day so that we would have the added hydration. So for me, I'm not a long distance runner. I'm a sprinter, right? So I've been running miles. My goal for the month of May is to run 50 miles. I'm already at 26 miles so far. And I try to run at least 2 to 3 times a week. Extremely challenging, but I have to hit that goal. If I don't hit the goal, right? So like I said, start with the goal. If I don't hit the goal, I know that it was due to me, no one else. Mm-hmm. I got a 3-year-old. I got a wife I'm trying to keep happy. I got a business I'm trying to run, but I got time, right? So if I structure myself and have a plan, I can get it done. So I told myself, I normally work out in the morning, but I know I had this podcast, have a meeting with my marketing team later, and another meeting with my team. I said, if I run in the morning, I'm going to be super tired for this interview. So I said, okay, after the interview, I'm going to go run. So now that I got this energy, I'm going to go run. So just having a plan. I know I gave you a lot, but, you know.
No, you gave us all of that. We love that.
Yeah. And accountability partners. That's probably the biggest one. Me and my friends, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we do a push-up challenge where we do the entire deck of cards, right? So every card is its own number. We do that. Every week, we like add numbers to the card to make it more push-ups each week. I woke up yesterday, Wednesday, like I don't want to do it today. But because we're so competitive, it's like, my man, we do push-ups at 8 o'clock every day. You've been in the house every single day for the past 6 weeks.
What you mean you don't feel like doing it?
What you mean? Like, I got something to do. Bro, you don't got nothing to do, right? So it's like, it's just that accountability of like, you can think of an excuse, but then I remind myself like, bro, I've been home all day. Like, what do you mean you can't do it? So just having that accountability partner of just someone that like you can do the workout with that can just hold you accountable and say, girl, I don't care what you're saying right now. We're going to get this working. I need that. Sometimes my wife be like, just do it. And I'll be like, all right. And then I do it.
So, you know, the best time for me to work out is in the morning, but I'm so not a morning person. Like I have to wake up. I start work at 10, so I wake up like 9:30 to kind of get myself ready for Zoom meetings. But even 9:30 feels like 5 in the morning to me. 10 o'clock feels like 5 in the morning to me. Yeah. And I know it's me being lazy, but I'm really trying to train myself now. Like today I was able to sleep in a little, but even get ready for this interview for 1 o'clock, I'm like, damn, that's early for me. But it's like, it's like 1 p.m. Gian, like I'm really getting lazy and I'm trying to train myself to wake up at 7 a.m. every day. Even if I have nothing to do, just get up, meditate, do something, move around so I can like get my body used to that.
100%.
That's the hardest thing for me. But 100%. Thank you so much. I know you have like a busy day. Tell the people where they can find you.
Man, so on Instagram, you can find me at @1 Jeremiah Brown. 1 Jeremiah Brown. On Twitter, you can find me at FaithMJB. And Facebook, Jeremiah Brown. And on YouTube, you can find me at the Lead Athletics LLC. It's the name of my organization. And on Instagram, you can also follow the Lead Athletics LLC as well. So I know I hit you with a lot.
That's fine. They can come on day and write it down.
Definitely follow me on Instagram.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Well, thank you so much for being here. Congratulations on all your success. You are truly a king. Love the work you do. You know, I've always been a super fan of you. You know, you're a stand-up person, very respectful. Even in high school, you were a senior, I was a freshman. I was like, yo, that dude is cool. We had a class together. I'm like, yes, I'm a friend. But you are an amazing person. God bless. Blessings to you and your family, to your business. Keep doing your work. When I get my little bundle, get ready for that text message. Like, all right, he ready.